Now.
You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Hello, Simon Gregg.
Hi, how are you?
Good, are you beaming in from Thailand yet again?
I am, yes, a bit jet lagged, just got off a plane last night, so.
Where have you been?
I spent a week in Singapore.
Oh, yeah? Just holidaying or enjoying the sights and sounds?
No, kind of a business thing.
Oh, yeah, nice one.
Business thing.
Nice. Yeah. Welcome along to this week's edition of Audio Culture, where we're going to take a look at an article that you've written for Audio Culture, 10 Auckland Inner City Club Hits, 1983 to 1988.
Yeah, it was something I've kind of wanted to write for a long time, and then a guy in Wellington, Mike Hollywood, wrote a story about 10, I think he called it, club bangers of the 80s in Wellington, which we put on Audio Culture, and I thought, well, we need to have a similar thing for Auckland.
Yes.
Because it was an era when music changed a lot in the 1980s, as we all know, and one of those changes was after the whole punk thing happened, and then post-punk came along, and it kind of mutated onto the dance floors as well.
Yes.
And there was a new era of, like, for want of a better phrase, hipster dance clubs around Auckland. And I was kind of involved with a few of them, and people started making records for them. So we had some really interesting stuff that came out of New Zealand, and a lot of it's been overshadowed in recent years because, you know, people talk about Flying Nun and that sort of stuff. But there was a big, big movement happening in Auckland in the 1980s. So,
as far as venues for these events, what was the scene like at the time from 1983 to 1988?
Well, Clubland was very old school up until about 1982. Like, you know, the old Queen Street clubs would have the bouncer on the door saying no jeans allowed and all that sort of stuff. And they had really sort of strict racial policies, which were pretty awful. And then a couple of guys, Peter Ehrlich, who's obviously well known still, and his mate Mark Phillips, who was the deputy editor of Rip It Up magazine, decided to set up like a UK styled or UK New York styled club, which was like post-punk electronica, that sort of sound, and a lot of funk and stuff. So it was a real mix. And they set up a place called A Certain Bar. It opened in, I think, May 1982.
Who the hell said no jeans? Why was that a thing?
Well, that was common.
So
that was very, very common.
What did people expect to wear? Shorts and jandals, well, like they do nowadays?
It was as much a let's try and keep the wrong people out sort of attitude. You know, if you turned up there and you were white, middle class, non-threatening, and you had jeans on, you'd probably get through the door.
Right.
But it was an excuse to keep, and it's horrible. It's hard to, well, it's not hard, but it's not a pleasant thing to think about how racially divided we all were back then. And if a brown family turned up, you know, wife, husband, and, you know, friends turned up and tried to go into a nightclub in Queen Street, as often as not, they'd be told to go away. No jeans, mate. You can't come in.
Crazy.
Damn.
Crazy.
Eventually, when we had our clubs, we had a no moustaches sign on.
Now, just going back to Ehrlich and his cohort setting up a New York / UK styled club, had they travelled abroad and been witness to what it was like overseas, or was it just in the imagination that they're setting up these clubs?
No, Peter had. Mark was, because he was Rip It Up, he had all the magazines coming out and all that sort of stuff and all the music, so he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But after the Dudes broke up in 1980, Peter was pretty pissed off and depressed, so he went off to the UK and followed his girlfriend to the UK. And there were all those clubs opening up then, like Blitz, and there's a whole range of them happened. And Peter started hanging out in those sort of places. So he came back to New Zealand at the end of 1981 and said to Mark, I've got an idea. Let's do this. So he did it, and it was on the corner of Wellesley Street and Albert Street in the old DB pub there, which is still there. It's a Backpackers now. And they found an empty room in the place and went up to the manager and said, do you want to put people into your room? And he said, well, sure. And they said, okay, you do the bar and we'll do the door.
Now, was it like strictly a nightclub, or was there an opportunity to have a pint there in the afternoon?
Well, no, I don't think upstairs was open in the afternoons. I'm not really sure. Downstairs was, but upstairs has been so quiet for so long. I think the manager was just happy that somebody was trying to do something with his space.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter and Mark put a couple of turntables in there. I mean, in those days, you couldn't buy 1200s and stuff in New Zealand either. So they had to get a guy called Moby, who was an electronic whiz kid, kind of a strange sort of guy anyway. And they said to him, can you make us a mixer? He didn't really know what it was.
Mm.
So they drew one, and then he got his box out and threw it all together. And he made probably the first DJ mixer ever constructed in New Zealand.
Holy moly.
And the turntables were all belt driven. Mm-hmm. So you'd hold your finger on the side of the record, and then when you're ready to go, you flick the crossfader across, the record would take off, and it would sort of go, and spit up.
That
was done.
Now, Simon, Corey has done the legwork here and actually pulled from the BFM catalogue a couple of tracks that we've got on vinyl here. What would you like to start with and why?
Well, let's go back to 1983, I think it was. Car Crash Set. And there's a track off their first EP. And I said before that people started making music for these sort of clubs and for the crowds that were going to these clubs. Because a certain bar took off in a big way. There were big queues outside. Now, Aucklanders like to dance. And so a few of the people that were going to these clubs and bars started making records. And one of them was a guy called Nigel Russell, who was earlier had been in Dance Macabre, and which were a synth band, but they were more like a gloomy, gothy sort of synth band.
Mm.
And before that, he'd been the bass player in the Spelling Mistakes, who were a punk band. And he found another guy, Dave Bullock, and they formed a band and called it Car Crash Set. And they nicked the name from a song called I can't remember the name of the song. Warm Leatherette, which was done by Grace Jones as well,
yes.
Which has a line that says, "Welcome to the Car Crash Set."
Very good.
So they thought that's a good idea. So they set up, and Trevor Reakey, who was running Reaction Records at the time, liked these guys and signed them to a record deal. So Outsider came off their first EP, a 12-inch EP, just called Two Songs. And it was like a real line in the sand record. I mean, nothing had sounded like this before in Auckland, and it changed a lot of what happened afterwards. Very simple, almost hypnotic and robotic rhythm with Nigel's dreamlike vocals over the top. And it was huge.
All right. Well, I feel pretty privileged to be able to play BFM's vinyl copy right
now.
Here
we go. Give it a spin.
Hopefully it's got not too many beers spilt on it. What an absolute ripper of a tune.
Fantastic, right?
Yeah, man. Such holy moly. Wow.
I mean, those guys kind of changed everything, as you can imagine, when they turned up. And they did an album, and the album has been released in Germany, reissued in Germany 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes.
The Germans and the Japanese just love it.
Mm. Simon Grigg, speaking on behalf of Audio Culture. Obviously, you're one of the driving forces behind the box. I mean, you've obviously, this article that you've written, Auckland Inner City Club Hits from 1983 to 1988, this is obviously a fairly fertile scene of music and, you know, like the expansion of nightlife in Auckland City. Like, how long after this period, when did the box fire up?
I had a series of clubs through this period, which are covered in this stuff. And then in 1989, we set the box up.
Yes.
But and I owned it till 1997, or co-owned it till 1997.
Yeah.
But the sequel to this is coming out on Audio Culture in about a week or 10 days or something, which is Auckland Club Hits 1989 to 1997.
Ah, here we go. Yes.
So, which goes more into house music and hip hop, and also really heavily into Pacifica, because a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here at the moment is kind of it's very Anglo-Saxon, shall we say?
Mm. Yeah,
I mean it's it wasn't American techno; it was more like the European techno that was happening, and so but then, like in the mid '80s, '86, I think it was. Adijah turned up, and Adijah had one. Ryan had been playing on some of these records. He played with Car Crash Set. He was a bass player with them live, and then he turned around and he made the Adijah record. So that was kind of the moment when Pacifica arrived, and it changed things forever.
Is that a cue to get into this next track or?
Well, no, it's completely different. The next track.
Yes.
The next track, I think, is Obscure Desire, right?
Yes, What can you tell us about Obscure Desire?
Okay, it was an interesting story. Obscure Desire was a hairdressing salon in corner of Albert and Victoria Streets, and it was co-owned by a guy called Andrew Waldegrave and Megan Douglas. Mm-hmm. Megan Douglas was the daughter of Roger Douglas, the guy who, the Labour finance minister, Rogernomics, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, so they, Andrew was a trained keyboardist, and he and a couple of other people in the salon decided they wanted to make a record. Mm-hmm. So they approached Trevor Reakey again, Trevor Reakey from Pagan Records, and said they wanted to make a record. And Trevor said, sure, and Andrew paid for it. And they recorded it in downtime at Harlequin Studios, which was just across the road from the salon. And yeah, it came out in late 1986, I think, and it was the real, like, I'm trying not to say things which upset people here, it was kind of the fashion victims record at the time, you know, the overly dressed, the hairdresser's record, if you
want. I mean, I hear these stories about a lot of cultural and sort of party scene being attached to hairdressers, you know, it sounded like, you
yeah,
know,
I mean, no, there's probably an Audio Culture story in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think that probably goes back way before, goes back into the 1960s and 70s.
Yes.
You know, the hairdressers and the people that worked in the clothing shops often defined the styles and led the way.
Yeah.
So this Obscure Desire came out, and it was huge when it first turned up on the dance floor. I was DJing at the time. I owned one of the clubs, and I was DJing at it as well. And every night there'd be a queue of people, mostly hairdressers, coming up to me saying, can you play this record? So I played it and played it and played it. And then Roger Perry, who was also DJing with me, mentioned the other day that he got hassled for it all the time too.
If the hairdresser was asking for it at the time, does that mean it's ended up on a tape somewhere in a salon?
I think they all hung out. They went to parties together and hung out and they played their own records. And it's never been reissued.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Waldegrave, who made the record, who paid for the record and played on it, I spoke to him a few days ago and he said that the band's reformed and now Nathan Haynes is playing with them.
Oh, wow.
All people.
Wow. Okay.
So that's kind of interesting. I don't know.
So we're on side A going for Obscure Desire?
Obscure Desire, that's the track to play. That was the one.
Okay, well, we're going to jump into the 95BFM 12-inch copy of this. Simon Gregg, thank you so much for speaking to us on behalf of Audio Culture. If anyone out there wants to dig a little deeper and get right in the mix here, Simon Gregg has written Article 10, Auckland Inner City Club Hits 1983-88, with a part two coming out soon.
Yep. Hopefully next week.
Hopefully next week. Hey, Simon, thanks so much for your time this evening. Let's hear this track, which is catalogue number 343 in the BFM vinyl library.
Only 343?
Yeah, I guess it's in the New Zealand section, so.
Ah, right.
Yeah. Right. Not for sale, this one, guys. Not for sale.
It's worth $600 if you have one on Discord.
Oh, damn. Well, let's hear it. Hey, Simon, thank you.
Okay, speak soon.
Jones.
Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.